Good morning and Happy New Year to all of you. I've had a message off Rod. Could the trustees please meet after the service in the minister's vestry? The rest of the notices for the coming week are as follows. On Wednesday, the home group Bible study will be held at Avril and Neil's home at 7:30 p.m. On Friday, the church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be led by Tony and Owenna Finch, and the worship warriors will meet in the Jubilee Hall. They're all the notices for this morning. I'd like to welcome you back, John. It's lovely to see you again, and a good start to the new year to have you with us. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be able to join with you on this first Sunday of the year. Our call to worship is a few verses from Psalm 84, where it says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." So in there, how the psalmist longed to be in the courts of the Lord, the dwelling place of God. Well, today, in this very church, the Lord is here. The Lord is with us. Now, if your mind is on other things, if your hearts have been distracted, you may well miss the fact that God is in this place. And so for that reason, this opening song is a call to be still. Be still. Why? For the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is indeed here. Number 40. Let us commit our time together to the Lord in prayer. It is indeed an amazing thing that we need be but still to realise that you are indeed in this place. It is almost too wonderful to imagine why you would do that, Lord, for we are far from perfect and yet your heart's desire is indeed to be with your people. So be with us, Lord, in a very special way, we pray, Lord. Touch our hearts, our minds, our very lives, Lord, that we might be more like you. And what a privilege it is to worship you in freedom here. We will remember those who are not with us this morning, perhaps they're still on holiday. Give them that time of refreshing, that they really might be restored and really brought to full health if they are not feeling too well. So may they know your comfort and leading at this time. So as we wait upon you, Lord, I pray that you will be glorified in this place. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this point in our service, we'll take up our gifts and offerings. Dear Lord, as we cast our minds back to 2025, you have indeed proved that you are a faithful God. You are the all-sufficient one. So help us, Lord, to always look to you. And as we give these gifts back to you, Lord, it is with a grateful and a truly thankful heart. May they also be a cheerful heart, Lord, and that you would give the stewards of this church the wisdom and insight to use these gifts for the extension of your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're going to turn now to an older hymn. You can't beat the old ones, is what I say. But this one, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. So that song there reminds us that the Christian faith is a very personal faith. Yeah, this is my story. This is my song. So although we know that God loved the whole world, only a few received him. And so now, as we turn to the Lord's table, this is a time of remembrance to those who believe in their hearts and confess with their mouths that Jesus Christ is indeed their Lord and Saviour. 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I wonder if the stewards could distribute the elements for us. In remembrance of our broken body of our Lord Jesus. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I'll be reading from verse 21. When the 8 days before his circumcision had passed, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And when the time of purification, according to the law of Moses, was complete, his parents brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice specified in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 36. There was also a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, who was well along in years. She had been married for 7 years and then was a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming forward at that moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Amen. So we see the prophetess Anna. Where did she spend day and night? In the temple. I think there's a lesson there that we can learn. And this song points us towards that. And that is to be in your presence. Okay, we are in God's presence right now. But even when we walk through those doors, God's presence goes with us. So let's sing together with our hearts to be in your presence. So there we have four names: Mary, Anna, John, Simeon. Four names that on the surface might seem totally unrelated. But in the Christmas story, these four names, they converged around one breathtaking truth. God came down to dwell with his people. Now, in my home church, we've been going through a series of prayers of the faithful. So we went back to Elijah in October. Remember his prayer on Mount Carmel. We looked at the prayers of David and even Jonah in the belly of a huge fish. We listened to the cries of Job, Habakkuk and Daniel. And in the weeks leading up to Christmas, we looked at the prayers of Mary and Zechariah. And then finally, Anna. Now, Anna, how many lines of prayers do we have of Anna? Okay, some of those people, their prayers fill chapters, others just one verse. But for Anna, zero. Nothing. Zilch, nada. Not a word of her prayers are recorded. But what the Bible does tell us, as we read just there, that she never left the temple. She stayed there day and night, fasting and praying. And so the question is, what more do we need to know? Her whole life was a prayer. She lived a life of prayer. And the Bible confirms this way of life by instructing us to pray on all occasions, to pray in every situation. Basically, to pray continually. Never stop praying. And as Anna clearly showed, devote yourselves to prayer. So this is the model of prayer that we so much need to follow. So much so that when Mary and Joseph walked in carrying the infant Jesus, Mary recognized him straight away. And she spoke about this child, looked quite normal, and yet she spoke about him as the redemption of Jerusalem. We also read there that Anna's father's name was Penuel, which means face of God. Now, theologians suggest that his name was mentioned deliberately, face of God. This reminds us of Jacob's encounter with the divine. Remember that he wrestled with God all night until his hip was dislocated. So he left that encounter saying, "I have seen God face to face." And he limped away, unable to walk properly. And if you know the Christmas story, Zechariah, after his encounter, he was unable to speak. And then later on, we know that Saul, after his encounter, he was blinded. And so it makes you wonder, do you really want an encounter with God? You see, encounters with God are never casual. Well, Anna, she certainly did want that encounter with God, for she lived in the very place where God's presence dwelt. And that brings us to the central theme of today's message. This theme that runs like a golden thread from Genesis to Revelation. What is this golden thread? It is that God's desire has always been to dwell with his people. From the beginning to the end, that is God's heart. From the Garden of Eden into the wilderness, then you see the temple, and to Christ himself, the church, the new Jerusalem, God's heart has never changed. So let us explore this together. So going back to Genesis, in the beginning, God created a garden, a beautiful garden. But it wasn't just a lovely landscape, it was a sanctuary, the place where heaven and earth overlapped, a place where God himself walked in the cool of the day. And so humanity's first home was not defined by geography, but by presence, by the very presence of God himself. However, sin entered that garden and it fractured that relationship, and so humanity hid. You know that God called out, "Where are you?" Not because he didn't know. I think it was more a case that we no longer knew where we belonged. And yet, even in judgment, God's desire to dwell with his people didn't suddenly evaporate. It just took on different forms. And so fast forward to the Exodus. You know, God rescued his people from Egyptian slavery and into the wilderness. And there, God gives Moses this strange request: build me a tent The God of the universe says, build me a tent. Why? It is because his people lived in tents. And so he wanted to be with his people also in a tent. And so this tent, it was called the tabernacle. The tabernacle was, if you like, a portable Eden, a moving sanctuary, a visible sign that God wasn't distant. Not that God, he was not abstract or theoretical, but he was a God that was present, close to his people. Now, the heart of the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. This was God's earthly throne, a place where he said he would meet with his people. You might remember that the Ark was once captured by the Philistines and carried off. And the Israelites, they cried out, the glory has departed. And so they understood the symbolism that losing the Ark felt like losing God himself. But the truth is, was God really captured? He wasn't contained. He's not limited. And so we see later on in Joshua 3, they were about to cross the River Jordan. How could they do that? After 40 years in the desert, I can't imagine any of them could learn to swim. And so the ark went in with the priests, and the waters parted. And so they passed through on dry ground. And if you think that's amazing, think of how ridiculous it was that God said, okay, you're going to go to Jericho with these huge walls, march around it for 7 days, carrying my ark. It sounds like a ridiculous plan. But what happened? Those walls came tumbling down. It was a ridiculous plan, but a plan that worked, because where God dwells, God acts. Eventually, this tent, this tabernacle, was replaced by a building. What a magnificent building. This was built by Solomon. The gold, pure gold, the cedar wood. The architecture was ahead of its time. But even Solomon, with amazing insight, he prayed these words. Will God really dwell on earth? The heavens cannot contain you. How much less so this temple that I have built? And yet still, God filled that temple with his glory. It became the center of worship, of sacrifice, of forgiveness. It was a place where heaven touched earth. But even this wonderful building, wasn't the final expression of God's desire to be with us. Okay, as we saw just a few weeks ago, at Christmas time, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Those of you who know your scriptures will know that that's a verse from John. And this golden thread, this isn't just a figment of my imagination, because in the original words, it says, the Word became flesh and he tabernacled among us. Okay, how much clearer can it be? He tabernacled among us. And so the Old Testament, that tabernacle, it was just a shadow. Jesus is the true tabernacle. The presence of God, not in a building, but in a person. In the person of the dear Lord Jesus. Mary carried him. Simeon held him. Anna proclaimed him. And John prepared the way for him. And so through our dear Lord Jesus, who walked with us, God's desire to dwell with his people took on human form. It's almost as if God himself walked among us again, just like he did back in Eden. What about today? This golden thread didn't stop when Christ ascended into heaven. Because before he went, he gave us this astonishing promise where he said, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And so through the Holy Spirit, God now dwells with us. Ordinary folk. He doesn't dwell in a garden, not in a tent, not in a building. he dwells in you. See, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's presence is no longer a place you visit, a place you have to go to. The reality of God's presence is that you carry him in your heart. And so we see that things have changed a lot since the days of Anna. Yes, day and night, she never left the temple because that is where God dwelt. But today, you are God's temple. Isn't that amazing? He lives in you. And so my question to you this morning is, do you reciprocate God's desire to be with us? Are you a Mary, a different Mary, who knelt at Jesus' feet, soaking in his every word? Or are you more like a Martha, who was distracted by many things? Well, Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So let me just circle back to these four names. I mentioned this earlier. They are actually my two older sisters and my one younger brother. I'm a family of four of us. But these are just our English names. Our primary names are actually Chinese. Okay, so a bit of a Chinese lesson here. Who knew? So we've got Pang Bat Yan, Pang Bat Mei, and then for me, Pang Bat Seng, and then my little brother, Pang Bat San. So you'll notice there in Chinese, the surname comes first, Pang. Now that means, well, it's a surname that goes back 3,000 years. So it goes back beyond Smith or whatever. So it goes back 3,000 years to the Shang Dynasty. And then in the middle, you have this shared character, Bat. Now that means 100. It gives you the idea of abundance, of completeness. And this reminds us of Jesus' words, where he says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And then to the individuals. Bat Yan means all grace. So that reminds us that we are not saved by works, but 100% by grace alone. Bat Mei means all beautiful. I'm reminded of Psalm 27, where David says, one thing I ask of the Lord. Think about it. If there was one thing you asked of the Lord, what would that be? Psalm 27. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days and gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Okay, he is altogether lovely. And then we've got Bat Seng, which means all complete. As Jesus died on the cross, one of his dying words was, it is finished. Now, don't think that that was a cry of defeat. That was a cry of victory. It is finished. And because of the finished work of Christ, that paves the way for Bat San, all new. This is a perfect bridge to the second half of this morning's message. A few greetings, the most obvious one being hello or hi. Some might say, what's up? On the opposite side of the world, they say, what's going down? I don't know if any of you watch Gavin and Stacey, what that greeting is. What's occurring? Listen to how AI greeted me when I was preparing this message. What's new? Isn't that amazing? What's new? So I'm going to go through a few things of what's new. Okay, I guess the most obvious one at this time of year is it's a new year. It's a new year. With a new year comes new promises, perhaps new gym memberships, new hopes. But the problem with New Year's resolution is that they rely on old hearts. So there's something else that is new. God declared to Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will take from you your heart of stone. What's a heart of stone like? It is cold. It is hard. It is unresponsive. And I will give you a new heart. Not cold, but a warm heart. Not hard, but a soft heart. A heart that is very much alive. See, with a new heart comes a new life. With a new spirit comes new desires. You become a new creation. You're given a whole new identity. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Out with the old and in with the new. This isn't just self-improvement. It's not just turning over a new leaf. This is transformation from the inside out. This is metamorphosis, like going from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Isn't that amazing? But there's more. This gospel doesn't just end with our own personal renewal. See, the Bible ends where it began. God finally dwelling with his people as he always intended. The Apostle John wrote in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Isn't that amazing? Something else is new. A new heaven and a new earth. And he goes on to say, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God." And so this is the full circle. Eden, finally restored. The temple, absolutely fulfilled. And the tabernacle, totally completed. The presence of God, now unbroken, forever. No more sin. No more distance. No more hiding. No more tears. No more death. No more mourning. No more crying. No more pain. Why? Because the one who sits on the throne declares, "Behold, I am making everything new. I am making everything new." So, what's new? For the child of God, everything. Everything is new. The old order of things has passed away. And so as we move in to 2026, from what has been to what will be, listen to this truth. Throughout human history, God's desire has always been to dwell with us. Never changed. In Eden, he walked with us. In the tabernacle, you know, that was smack bang in the center of the Israelite camp. In the temple, he filled it with his glory. In Christ, he became flesh and blood and walked among us. And in the Spirit today, he lives with us. And then finally, in the new order of things, he will dwell with us forever. And so the question is not whether God wants to be with you. Okay, that cannot be made clearer. The question is, do you want to be with him? Can you echo the words of Psalm 84? "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty." Okay, we sang it earlier as well. "How lovely is your dwelling place. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Is that your heart's desire this morning? See, the psalmist was almost envious of the sparrow. Why? Because in that Psalm 84, he says, "Even the sparrow has found a home, a nest for herself, where she places her young near your altar." How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. So let me finish with a challenge. This takes on the form of four questions. Will you be like Anna? Devoted. Expectant. Present. Will you be like Mary, who treasured all these things in her heart? Will you be like John, bearing unfaltering witness, behold the Lamb of God. Will you be like Simeon, waiting patiently for the final fulfillment of God's ultimate promise? If the answer is yes, then your life will never be the same again. Amen. Our closing song is number 155, and you might think this is a mistake. A Christmas carol? Is it too late to sing a Christmas carol? I would say no. Okay, look at the words. The words. Born that man no more may die. That's why he was born. Again, the words say, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hailed the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. The whole point of Christmas, God and sinners reconciled. Let's sing together. Embark on a new year, remember, Lord, that you are with us, our Emmanuel. You, Lord, who walked with Adam in the garden, who travelled with Israel in the wilderness, who came to us in Christ, and who now dwells in us by your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would refine our hearts as gold, removing what is false, healing what is broken, restoring what is lost. Where there is weariness, Lord, bring strength. Where there is fear, bring courage. Where there is sin, Lord, bring forgiveness. And where there is sorrow, bring joy. Shape us, Lord, into a people who carry your presence into every place that we go. Dear Lord Emmanuel, may you be our heart's desire. Mold us and shape us that we may be more like you. Day by day we pray. Amen.